Blog Talk Radio.
Broken campaign promises. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't
you know, the country is in trouble. I mean, we don't have any good options to choose from. So, you know, where I'm at tonight, I mean, it's really not a good place for tonight's topic because I think we're deceiving ourselves if we want to continue to believe that things are going to turn out right. I mean, it is an impossibility to have as much knowledge as we do about what's going on than they've ever been before, or it's just the internet is catching BS, you know, in real time. I'm just not sure if it's, you know, either or both, but this is not some election for the neighborhood dog catcher. This is an election that will choose the next president of the United States. That said, he's our commander, or she will be our commander in chief. I don't know, you know, the powers that be in this country. We understand that, you know, the presidents are not elected, they're so elected. We get that part. But at the same time, I think everybody doesn't understand that. And so people like Trump, you know, spewing the rhetoric that he does, or Hillary coming with the baggage that she's coming with, it's just really not putting this country in a good place. So tonight, our topic is the DNC. The last man standing is a woman. That's how many people are unsettled in their spirit about just the choices that we have. I think we're in trouble. I think we're in major trouble. And so for that reason, I'm just, you know, I'm gritting my teeth. I'm really on the fence. Do I even go to the polls? If I do go to the polls, who will I vote for? Because I know I'm not going to vote for either Hillary or Trump. That I'm pretty sure of. And I know people say voting is the process in which you vote for the lesser of two evils. But I beg to differ with you. Sometimes you got just pure evil. That's just all it is. And so, I don't know. I just question if going, I don't know. I just question if going is even going to help us at all at this point. And a lot of people are saying that there won't be an election. And if there won't be an election because chaos is in the country, or if we're under martial law, they won't have an election. And Barack Obama will have to continue to stay in office until things are stabilized. And maybe that's just what he's happening. I mean, unfortunately, maybe that's just what the president, only to find out later that, you know, he wasn't what we thought he was. You know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, after Haiti, after the earthquake in Haiti, that Bill Clinton and Bush went over there and they were allegedly going to help the people of Haiti. And now there's all types of YouTube videos where the people of Haiti are saying that they were not given the money. That, you know, they're worse off now than, you know, before they came. And so you just really have to think, if all those things happen, voting for Hillary, is that going to help us? Because ultimately, this is not a popularity contest, in my opinion. It's not. It's really about finding someone who has a love for this country, wants to do the right thing for this country, and is going to be the right fit. And I don't think we, you know, we got a lot of shoes out there, but we don't have the right fit yet. And so, in my opinion, it's time to do something different. I mean, going, and that's good. You know, she seems to know how to say all the right things at the right time. She seems to know the right colors to wear and where to be and how to be. But in reality, they call that a chameleon. And I think we're falling for the wrong things. I think we're looking at the wrong things and deciding for the wrong reason to give someone something. I'm not going to ever again identify myself as a Democrat. I'm not a Republican either, but I'm never going to again just, you know, decide, okay, I'm a Democrat. Based on what? I mean, just really based on what? I mean, we are literally giving our votes to Democrats every single time we go to the polls simply because they come around us and, you know, You know, basically, I don't need anybody to come and dance with me. I don't need anybody to show up at church, you know, just for the sake of showing up at a black church, you know, right around election time. I don't need anybody to crack, you know, what they think are black jokes. I don't need that. I need someone who can show me what they're going to do for the black community. And
well, hello there. How are you today?
You know, geez, I'm depressed. I mean, this whole thing just got me depressed. I'll be honest with you. I'm very depressed about this.
Yeah. Well, on my Facebook, man, I take a beating from, like, Obama and Democrat supporters and stuff. And I say the problem is, I was like, y'all are going against Trump because y'all are afraid. And I said, all Hillary has done is push fear in y'all here. You vote for me. If you don't vote for me, you have to vote for Trump. What if I don't vote, period, because neither one of y'all earned my vote? But I'm going to tie this also to our Democrats, for example. I call these Democrats. Look at Hillary. She knows all she got to do is say, I'm not a Republican. Because black people think only Republicans are racist. Wrong. You know, Democrats are some of the biggest racists out there. When you look at Ferguson, the prosecutor, Bob McCulloch, who let Darren Wilson go for shooting Mike Brown, he was a Democrat. Sheriff David Clark is a Democrat, the black coon out they got out of Buck Dancing. They got all these Democrats, and even a lot of your gay people in Hollywood, they're Democrats, but they're bigots. So we just think that Democrat is not racist. We like symbolism.
Yeah.
But last time I checked, I can't eat symbolism. Symbolism doesn't, you can't take symbolism downtown to pay the power bill. And it's like, my thing is, Hillary has her husband has a track record. They can say that her husband did this. But when she was Secretary of State, and when she was Senator of New York, she never once spoke out against those draconian three-strike laws. Never once. So she was right along with it. But black folks keep telling us that, well, you know, they put on good speeches. And I'm like, who? It's like, boys, I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant here, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I'm tired of this all in. We like, black people when it comes to politics are like what Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. All we do is eat cake. Think about this. We got black folks, you probably see your Facebook timeline, Twitter, all that. Black folks going crazy. Man, Michelle Obama threw it down. Barack Obama killing his speech. I'm like, these people are Ivy League graduates. They're supposed to speak well. Most people don't speak like ASAP Rocky. And it's just, and the part that kills me is that we expect so little. How many black folks were going to vote? And when I ask, it's like you got black folks saying they vote for Michelle Obama president. I was like, oh, based on what? She speaks well? We don't demand nothing. Other groups demand stuff. The LGBT will fight you to the end for stuff. I'm sorry, say it quick. The illegal immigrants, the Latinos will fight to the end. The white women will fight to the end. And I'll tell you this. I told my lady last night at dinner, if Hillary ain't doing nothing, the white woman won't. She's going to be out of there in 4 years. Best believe Hillary gonna speak out into the white women. So for those folks who say you can't do nothing, that's a lie.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you. This is the problem I have, Chief. We're talking about, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, Trump is bad, which he is. Then I'm gonna automatically vote for Hillary. But what has Hillary promised black people she's gonna do? Because I haven't heard anything.
I haven't really. Besides the Central Park Five, where you think he would have locked them all up and all that, I haven't heard anything. He talked about Muslims, Middle Eastern Muslims, who look at black folks in the same.
I just don't get it. I mean,
who
wait,
don't side
wait,
with us, they ain't our problem.
Well, we keep doing it every single time. We keep putting people in office who don't even promise us anything. I mean, we got to wake up. We got too much at cross to the fence for Trump. Trump has clearly said, and I'm not, let me be clear, I'm not anti-police, I'm anti-bad police, okay? So Trump has clearly not said anything positive about helping the situation with police brutality. Literally, he is saying that he is pro whatever the police do. And so that strikes are out, mass incarceration, mandatory minimum. I mean, all of this happened under Bill Clinton's watch. So what has Hillary done to say she's going to correct that? Has she even addressed that, what she's going to do if she's given, if she becomes president, or how she's going to correct it? Has she even done that?
Yep. You know what? I remember the story about Bill Clinton. Because they were talking about how, like, President Obama had, like, he still does, a record number of low prison pardons. And for the people out there that don't know, usually presidents going to pardon you have nonviolent drug offenses. And but Bill Clinton, I remember Arkansas, he was governor of Arkansas. I think it was two black, I forgot all the names of the guys, but it was like two or three black guys and one white guy. Got caught in the drug, was running drugs and stuff. The white guy got pardoned. The black folks still in prison. But that's supposed to be the first black president. Think about black folks called the first black president. He played a saxophone, he smoked weed. And said nothing what he would do for black people.
We got to stop that, though, y'all. We got to do better. I mean, this, you know what? Literally, we are like 2 seconds from all of our rights being taken away and off into slavery. We go concentration camp, FEMA camp, whatever you want to call it. And this person, whoever becomes our next president, has got to be able to be someone we can trust. At least some vision of hope that this person isn't going to fail us out.
You know what the problem is? I'll say this also, when black folks got to read and look at stuff, Republicans called for Obama the food stamp president, right? Talk about giving stuff. And you know what I'm about to say right here. And black folks, a lot of y'all pro-black folks who champion this guy, champion this Democrat, you know this, what I'm about to say. He signed off on a big-time food stamp cut. Who does that hurt primarily?
White people.
A lot of poor black people are hurt. But yeah, and one thing you said about waking up, Kerrigan. I always talk about President Obama because he's black. And so folks gonna give a benefit of the doubt because he's black. And when he always chastises us in front of white people, the Democrats do it overall. And talk about what we can do better, we do this, do that. Pull yourself up by the bootstrap. Black folks are cool with that. They clapping. But let Mitt Romney or Trump say the exact same thing. They be ready to tar and feather the guy.
That's true.
We just like it as a black face.
But see, you know what? This is the problem I have. I have this problem. When you get through, Hillary comes to the table with a whole lot of baggage. And I don't know if we are like, I know they know we, you know, we don't like remember stuff real good. Because obviously we must like, be like the worst people for memory, because when you think about it, Benghazi, I know all the facts on Benghazi, but I know enough to know that there still needs to be some more investigating going on. I'm just gonna leave that right there. We know Ron Brown's death happened under Clinton's watch. We know her Dick Gregory, Ron Brown didn't just die in a car accident. When the plane landed, he had a bullet in the back of his head. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We know Whitewater. Okay. We know, you know, like I said earlier, the situation with Patey and Clinton. A whole lot of money has come up missing in Haiti, and those people are worse off than before the earthquake. So, you know, we know about Travelgate. If y'all need to go and do your research, if you don't know about Travelgate, that happened after the Clintons came into the White House and a lot of people lost their jobs that was working for the, what they call it, the Travel Office of the United States. Basically, they, I guess, handle, you know, flights for the White House and things like that, but a whole lot of shifting went on and a lot of folks lost their jobs and one guy lost his job and, you know, his reputation and a whole bunch of other things, only, you know, for him to be brought up on charges and later cleared, but by that time, his whole reputation and everything was lost. So that said, and his name was Bill Dale, a lot is going on these people's watch. I mean, we know the email scandal, you know, and so I just think, and I'm not telling anybody who to vote for, but what I'm saying is, before we vote, we do need to okay? First-time homebuyers have never voted House before. Well, we're not first-time voters, so we need to go to the polls this time, sadly, and knowing everything that's on the table about both candidates, we cannot go to the poll this time. She's really, like, you know, going in there scratching our heads, going, well, you know, well, this person's a Democrat, this person's a Republican, so I'm going to vote for him based on that. It's too much on the table. It's too much. I don't know.
And you know what? And here's the thing, also. I don't know if you heard this. Yeah, he's kind of real choppy over there, too. Yeah. Your audio, he's choppy, breaking up, so.
Thank you.
I know you're rich, so I know you got that finest microphone, but, here's the thing. When we up here voting based on symbolism, what are we holding these politicians accountable for? And here's the thing what black people gotta understand. One, I hate when black folks make excuses. Well, you know, Obama's only, they only one man, they can't do nothing. We gotta worry about the local politicians. Case in point, Baltimore. You got black folks in every position of power there. You can't even put the black guy in prison for killing Freddie Gray. You got a black mayor in Baton Rouge. The cops work for him. They won't fire the mayor. Not fair, but they won't fire the cops. You got Ken Thompson in New York with Peter Lyang, an Asian cop who killed a Kyle Gurley in New York in his own apartment complex. A Kyle Gurley is walking down the hallway. Peter Lyang got convicted, and black Ken Thompson, black man, said this man shouldn't serve a day in prison. So the problem is that I hate when black folks also say, well, our ancestors died for the right to vote. I said, bingo, the right to vote. But also those same ancestors are pretty much died and got their head beaten in for us to integrate the lunch counter. How'd that work out for us?
But see, what I was saying, it's so much on fake, you know, going into this election. There's all kind of stuff out about what actually occurred at the convention and how, you know, Bernie Sanders was treated. You know, I say, you know, I don't understand everything about politics, and I understand at some point this whole thing about I concede, blah, 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 but I don't think Bernie Sanders should have conceded. I think he just should have said, you know, I'm not doing it this time. You know what? I am not just a candidate. I am somebody who wants to invest in this country. And for that reason alone, I'm not quitting. If y'all don't vote for me, then I'm just automatically going and run for as an independent, but I'm not conceding. I don't get it. I mean, he knew, Bernie Sanders had to know what they were doing to his delegates, you know, at the convention. And yet he got up there and
And with Bernie,
yeah.
Even though I believe he was a socialist, and I know that stuff won't get over well anyway, but the problem is that he ended up becoming what he said he wasn't by conceding and backing Hillary. And because honestly, I believe Trump's going to win. And I said a month ago I believe Trump was going to win on your show. And because black folks are in denial. But the problem is, I always go back to this. We had 8 years with a black president, a black attorney general. You got black politicians in power positions all over the country, in many of y'all cities. We actually lost ground. We were happy with the folks being black. So now when you got the white guy taking over, we can't demand nothing from the white guy. But also, we're in a position where we were before. We were scared of a candidate. If we had our stuff together, economic base together, we wouldn't be scared that God came from the sky or Lucifer came from the ground. Because we had our stuff together. Because think about this. Latinos really running around saying they're scared of Trump when or some of them say they don't like what he said. What he said. They said nothing about being scared of him, because out where I'm at, they may not be like the Rockefellers or nothing, but a lot of them got their own businesses, their own little communities, their own areas. And they're a collective. even when you talk about black economics, most of us aren't collectors. Look at how many black businesses are surrounded by white businesses or non-black businesses. We're not a collective. We don't vote in blocks. We don't spend money in blocks. And every time when it's like the black, let's say Alton Castillo got shot. Like, I mean, Alton Sterling, I'm sorry. He got shot. Let's just say what happened. All right. I'm going to use him as an example. I don't know what's happened out there. But think about this. If you had these Black Lives Matter protesters out there, one, I'm tired of protests, what's next? But next thing you know, it'll start going to gay black women rights. Or feminism. Or like black and brown or poor people. And when I ask these black folks, I said, shut up after this. They talk about brown people? Black people. Has anyone of Telemundo Univision spoken up for y'all? No. Has Carlos Slim, the richest Mexican on the planet, spoken up for y'all? But when Trump started talking slick, he put his money on the table. That's another thing. We got our money people are too scared because our money people are number rich employees. Carlos Slim is an owner, a business owner, entrepreneur, own his own stuff. We, our rich people are controlled because they're still employees. And that's why we're stuck where we're at.
You know what? In my opinion, black people are in such a bad position right now because if you really think about it, we didn't demand anything of Barack Obama in 8 years. And so no matter who they put in front of us now, they're going to go, oh, okay, so y'all going to give me a hard time, but y'all didn't say nothing to Barack Obama. And so we have really painted ourselves into a corner. And what can we demand of anybody else when we didn't raise you? Can you, you know, because pardon, giving a pardon to 5 or 6 people, I don't know what the total number was, but after the whole, you know, prison population, we're just going to say 5 or 6 people, just for round numbers, that's not going to be saying you're giving anything to black people. And I'm not listening to y'all for those because they say I'm hating over Barack Obama. I'm not. I'm just being real about this election and how everything is going to play out. We didn't make any demands of him. And we should have. Don't you agree? We should have.
Yeah.
We should have.
And the problem is that 8 years, I hate when people say, well, you're a Republican. How? And I say, what got blocked? No one ever says what got blocked. I said, I want to know the black policy. When it says black people, I said, man, put a second of orders for illegal immigrants. These people aren't even citizens. They got a second of orders. He could speak out for the LGBT. I have no issues with him doing that, to be honest. Those groups fought for that, put their money. I have no issues with that. But when it comes to us, black people in a position of power will start South Shore. Look what happened when Clinton spoke at that convention. Michelle Obama, Barack Hillary, all these people. Yeah, we got to come together. We got to come together. We love the police. One, nobody's anti-police. We're anti-bigots and killers in the police, how they get off. And the other thing is, I hate when they say come together with divisive country. White society, white supremacy made this country divisive. When you throw black people resumes away because they're black, when you got black women out here who are more educated than white women but still make substantially less money in the same jobs. Red line for home loans. And like, I don't know if you watched that Dr. Umar Johnson's interview for Breakfast Club the other day, happened like a week ago. When he said, and I didn't even think of this, and I used to think of everything. When he said, they will give you a home loan, a student loan, a car loan, but will not give you a business loan. And I was like, damn, I don't agree with everything you said, but I was like, man, that was powerful. And that's why that we have to have our economic basis in order, because we're the only people who are dependent by our oppressors for our daily bread.
But you know what? You can say, I don't know, and I hate to say this like this. You can say to black people all day long, y'all, we need to unite. Y'all, we need to come together. Y'all, we need to. And it's like, how can in another language, we don't get it. We do not process what that means and how we need to do it. It's like when you get through, we can keep going around and around, but we're going to keep being lynched, which is something that's on the rise again. We're going to keep being victims of police brutality. We're going to keep being treated like second-class citizens until we wake up and realize that every other group has gone from the bottom to the top,
Yeah, we won't, because the thing is that because we're so easily distracted.
Yeah. But is that by design, teaching the women? Is that by design that we're so easily distracted? Is it because of chemtrails or, you know, whatever? Because, we're all devices. Yeah. He's devices. He doesn't get it. I mean, as a person who is about to, I am getting them a lot of shopping. Now, listen, y'all. Y'all know that's by design, right? Y'all know that is by design. On shows like this, stuff gets choppy. I'm gonna have to switch here. Cindy, am I still choppy to you? Cindy, are you still having problems hearing me?
I can barely hear you now. I was like, what'd you say?
I said, am I still choppy to you?
Yes. It's like, are you using like Skype or something?
No, I'm using your Blog Talk device, which obviously.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I'm looking for my other devices. It's amazing though on these type shows when you're talking about issues where they don't want Black folks informed. Stuff like that happen. Would you agree with that,
Chief
Smitty?
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said when you are talking about issues.
Oh yeah. But if you talk about reality TV, I got no issue with sports. No issues with like sports and stuff because I love my sports. But you talk about stuff that's not about challenging the system and trying to get your people together. Oh, you get gremlins on the radio and everything. And it's a mess. I just say, that's how it happens. You be like, man, they're talking about something serious, something to bring people together, and next thing you know, radio ain't working. Maybe you should have titled it Why Ed Hartwell and Rudy from the college still got divorced.
You have a point. I'm gonna try something else and see if that works.
Okay.
Give me one second. And you know what? This is not the first time this has happened.
Anytime.
This is gonna give me a heart attack. I can just see this. Any time in which it is what it is. These are giving me help tonight, plain and simple. I mean, plain and simple. Anyway, back to what I was saying, because the devil is a lie, and I am not going to let him defeat me tonight. Just the thing. Anytime you have a show, y'all, on Blog Talk Radio, anytime, if you are talking about twerking videos, you are clearly heard. Blog Talk Radio talking about issues, that affect Black people, then it's an issue. Anyway, it's just frustrating, Chief. This country sucks. I mean, right now, and I know some people would probably say, well, go to wherever else you want to be, but you know what? I have every right to be here, and I have every right to say when my country sucks. And we're in a bad place. I mean, this country is in a toilet right now. I mean, because when you get through, at the end of the day, unless something gives, we are going to be in a civil war, race war, under martial law. And I'm talking about, I really believe it's crazy as itself before the end of the summer. I really do. I think that the tensions are rising, and you can't keep putting situations where you're telling us a police officer got killed, and then you turn around the next week and tell us that the police killed somebody, and not put it in a position eventually where the police are at war with the people. Don't you agree with that?
Yep, I do.
Yeah. And so, did you hear about the San Diego police officer allegedly one was killed?
Huh.
So, where are we going? You know what I'm saying? You got to really realize it's every week this keeps going like this, whether
here's the thing about, like, wars. I tell black people this. We cannot go into a physical war, because I don't believe violence is the answer. I believe economic empowerment. But you must defend yourself, because watch The Walking Dead, watch Game of Thrones, for example. They go, people come to your resources all the time. Being the most spiritual person on The Walking Dead gets you eaten by the zombies and those other groups. And what they tell you is that the zombies ain't the enemy. The walkers aren't the enemy. It's the other people that's the enemy. They're the bigger threat. And that's the same thing out here. See, we have to fight this war economically. That's what the issue is. Because think about this. White folks don't have to shoot us. They're not doing that. They're beating us with gentrification, not hiring you, denying you for business loans, you know, all those type of things, putting you in jail, get a felony, you can't get a job. Those type of things where they hurt you economically. You get a felony, you can't even vote. You can't even buy a gun.
Sound kind of wobbly tonight. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
They messing with my phone. They're messing with my transmission.
Yeah. Who is that guy that says something about economics? I got, what's his name?
Steve Smitty?
Steve?
Steve Smitty?
Steve, let me tell you something. What you are saying is absolutely right. But why is it that don't nobody listen to you?
I tell you why. Because I've always believed, it's Mitty, by the way. You know, I always say economics because that's the way you protect yourself. Because if you boycott Best Buy, Virginia, you don't have an alternative to the Best Buy, what's the point? So I believe it's hard work. It's hard work to be yourself economically, but what's harder out there is trying to get a white man to give you a job and you're black, and you're more qualified. They're not giving it to you. They're not going to let you take over there. But we don't want to build ours. We want to keep fighting to get your seat at their lunch table instead of building our own lunch table and employ our own people to work at the lunch table.
You know what? You're absolutely right, man. I can't even add, and surely cannot take anything. I could add just a little bit. Them boycotts are not boycotts. They are nothing more than protests. A boycott is when you walk away from them and say to hell with you. But these boycotts that the blacks do are protests because you end up going back to them anyway. So I really appreciate your commentary.
Oh, wow.
At Montgomery bus protest was not a boycott. It was a protest.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, they called it the Montgomery bus boycott, and they didn't ride the bus for over a year. So why would you call that a protest?
Because LNC, I think the company's name was, they own buses in other cities, and they just raised their rates, raised their fares in other cities. And another point, blacks went back to riding the same bus company anyway. Probably they raised the rates then. A boycott is when you leave it alone. Say, I don't need you no more.
You know, it's scary. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. I'm born and raised. Now I live in Phoenix. I'll tell my mom this. I said, you know what, Mom? I told you a few years ago, I said, the bus boycott failed. Because I said, why do black folks have their own buses? Maybe we could have had four or five buses, but at least a black bus. You can sit whatever you want. You can pick everybody up. But and you employ your own black bus driver, black mechanic. Black folks
build
tires.
Absolutely right.
Black folks build engines. You know.
Brother, you know where that was going on at? You know, E.D. Nixon wanted that, but Shuttlesworth and them didn't. It was going on in Winston-Salem, South Carolina, a bus company that blacks had that began back in the 1920s called the Best Bus Company. They had over 500 buses, controlled everything from the bottom to the top, just like you said.
Yeah,
E.D. Nixon wanted to get them to come over to Montgomery, but the black civil rights and the let us ride on your bus, they didn't want that.
Yeah, and it's like, at the end of the day, they still calling you the N-word anyway. They still never going to like you. So you might as well create your own, because I never saw the point in spending my money with people who can't stand my guts or who will call me whatever or red hose me down with a hose and like it. I can't spend my money with those people. I can't make them richer. And I tell you, like, where I'm from, the west side of Montgomery, Alabama, is like the black side, the west and the north. And Montgomery become majority black. But the east side is like a lot of your movie theaters, your malls, your shopping, your better restaurants. And they moved those to those sides. And I told my mom, I said, here's the thing. Black folks get mad about all they want. White folks put their business wherever the heck they want to. It's their money. And I said, but what's stopping a lot of these black people coming together? There's a black bank in that town, Liberty Bank, formerly First Tuskegee Bank. Folks get their money going in there, maybe get some loans from them, backed by them. And those buildings, you may get a grocery store. Like, y'all know this, it's fun, other businesses. Get your own black-owned movie theater, your side of town, that drive like 15, 20 miles other side of town. And you can afford,
right.
Like, think about this. You can employ, let's say, these teenage boys, maybe get them a job or something, make a little bit of money, take the girl from the Applebee's on the weekend or something. Because even as teenagers, we all felt good when we had some money in our pocket. And just
That's
stuff
right.
like that, if we take care of our own. It may not be the big mega IMAX. Even you got four or five screens. Damn it, it's your four or five screens. You don't have to go over there.
You know, and the funny thing about it is that blacks already have these type of businesses that can supply grocery stores. Blacks even got one of them black ops companies, Centel, who was founded by African Americans, who is owned by an African American. They do a lot of work for the Department of Defense in providing border protection, border protection, utilizing latest in technology to detect if somebody is trying to tunnel across your border. They're all around the world. As a matter of fact, they would stand to make a lot of money when Trump is elected. If Trump is elected and Trump is talking about putting a wall on the border, William E. Ward, Kip Ward, Russell T. Wright, and a whole slew of their organization. The company name is Centel, S-E-N-T-E-L. It's a multi-hundred-million-dollar business, well, close to, out of Alexandria, Virginia. And that's the business that they're in.
Well,
Okay, Pianki, before I take this next call, let me ask you a question. I want tonight, y'all. I want to go on. Am I clearer now? Did I fix the problem?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, great. Okay. Let me go on the record. I want to bet you $100, even though it'll probably collapse. The dollar will probably collapse before this bet goes through. But I'd like to bet you $100 that there will come a time when you will come back on this show and say you made a mistake by voting for Trump.
No, I'm not going to make a mistake. All I just want to know is what their plan is. Tell me what your plan is.
No, you keep saying that Trump's the man, Trump's going to fix this, Trump's going to do that. Then you should put your money where your mouth is. Bet me $100 that you're not going – I'm saying you're going to come back on the show and say made a mistake with
Trump. Well, first place, if I bid you $1,000, if Trump is elected, there's nothing that he can totally do that I can't see where a good business person can benefit from. They do it all the time. Ooh. I just gave you examples of some black businesses that would benefit from Trump's ideas. There's a lot of them out there. And let me ask you a question. You stay in a talent. Hang on for a second. You stay in a – there's a black woman there's a black man accompanied by the name of Thompson Hospitality. They hire about 5,000 workers. They in food facilities and food service. Why come they aren't providing the school lunches for your Title I lunches in your inner cities, more so than what they already done?
Because
you could be a consultant for them, Carrie.
Because those require contracts, and contracts are not that easy to get, and I know you know that. You can have the greatest
business
in the
world. We know it's not easy, but you got to work.
But no, my point is this, is you can have the greatest business in the world and not have the right contacts, and you will not get the contracts. So I'm sure being a business person.
Huh? Well, this company is all over the world. I mean, they're in Dubai and every place else, so she must have some contracts. I mean, some context. But no, I'm just saying that there's a lot of opportunities. A lot of African Americans, black folks, women in particular, too, are doing great things. You just don't hear anything about them because they're not out there in front of the cameras all the time.
I agree. Hold that thought, Pianki. We're going to go to 404-431. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hey, how you doing, Carrie?
Fine, Cisco. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How the guests doing tonight? I had a question. The brother said something. He was talking about economics. Earlier, he was talking about economics. And I agree that we need to focus more on economics. But just to play devil's advocate, Haiti tried to use economics, and look what happened to Haiti when they tried to exercise their economics. Someone has to want to buy your goods and services or support you in order for you to make money. You can have all of these things, but unless you have a market of someone to sell it, which they're going to block you from being able to buy and sell. Just a question, what do you guys think in a situation like that? Because they proved with Haiti that you can have the economic and you can have all of that, but they can still destroy that. What do you guys say about that?
Pianki?
Well, I think you're comparing apples and grapes.
Ooh.
If blacks build a business here, well, they have businesses here already. You got some billion-dollar business. In the top in the top 20 black businesses in the United States, six of them are in the automotive business. I guess these brothers coming out of Detroit. Some of them doing over $2.2 billion worth of work or revenue a year. You just got to do it. You're a United States citizen. If you put up a building, if you put up a business in Haiti, the government's supposed to protect that business from any form of aggression. And they will.
No. What I'm saying is Haiti, Haiti fought for their independence, Haiti tried to exercise their economics. In other words, we now have all the minerals. We now have all of this aluminum and copper and everything. But now... the U.S. government is putting blockades up. No, we can't sell.
No, they don't
anybody.
Have no blockades up with Haiti, sir. Let me tell you something.
Now,
you got
I'm
a plan.
About it in the
listen,
past. I'm not.
Listen.
I'm
listen
talking
to
about
me
it
real
in the past.
Close.
I'm not talking about now.
Well, yeah, but we can't go back to the 1800s. But listen to me real close. If you got a business idea, you in a group, and you got a plan, you want to extract a bill in Haiti, let's hear about it. You can do it. Nobody going to stop
you. No, I don't think
they're not
going to
shoot you.
I don't think you kind of get what I'm saying. What I'm just like I said, I agree with economics. I agree that we do need to exercise our economics. What I was saying was I was using Haiti for an example that when Haiti got their independence and they tried to exercise their economics, the U.S. and France made sure that they had nobody to buy or sell the goods to.
Well,
so
you're right. They did do that back.
Think,
they
what,
did do
right,
that, but I don't think they would do that today.
Today. You don't?
Well, you know, Haiti used to supply products to the United States. Used to supply rice, Rawlings baseballs. That was between the time of then and now. And they could do it again.
But, you know, again, like I said, it's not that simple. I mean, if you don't have the connection or if you're being blocked, you know what I'm saying? If you're being so,
right.
Mm-mm.
Ain't nobody. There's no entity, government entity, going to block you from doing business in West Africa, Haiti, Jamaica. I know brothers that's doing business. The Roberts brothers are doing a development in Bermuda. You know, the blacks in Bermuda have a higher household income than blacks in America.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, if you think back a few years ago, the black farmers was trying to sell goods to Chavez, and the U.S. government blocked that. They did. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, they did everything they could do to block those black farmers from doing business with it. I know personally, I don't know the guy personally, but being in the business, I know for a fact that you had black farmers that had chicken farms that were trying to sell the chicken, and the U.S. Department, they had them all ready, frozen, under containers, ready to go. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture said, nah, you can't ship it. But then they also turned around and said, but you can sell them to, you can sell to ConAgra, or you can sell to another company, Tyson, and have them to, but they wouldn't allow the black farmers to do it. So
I would have liked to have known when that was going on. I never heard about that, and I would have liked to know when that was going on.
Yeah, that was back when the black farmers filed the I want to say it was back in the early 90s when the black farmers filed that lawsuit. And they had all
the
produce down on the docks ready to go overseas, and the U.S. government blocked them and told them they did not have the permits or the rights to be able to do that. They had to go through ConAgra. They had to go through Tyson. They had to go through those companies that had the permits to be able to ship overseas. So they did
The Pickford lawsuits, Pickford 1 and 2, wasn't nothing about shipping stuff abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. We're not going to go too far off subject tonight because we're talking about the DNC, but I will definitely pick that subject up because I did not know that, Cisco, and I will definitely pick that one up about the black farmers because everything is about contract because we can talk about black economics all day long, but if we don't realize how important it is to have contacts, you know, in the right places in order for us to be able to get things done, then it's going to make all the difference in the world. One thing I want to ask about is this VP choice. Nobody even knows this person, Tim Kaine. What we know about him is that basically he was the senator from Virginia. He was the mayor of Richmond for a while. He was lieutenant governor for a while, and he was also governor of Virginia. And also he served for the DNC. He had a position as chairman for the DNC, I believe. So this guy has quite a lengthy resume, yet nobody knew who he was. I think that's very, very strange. I mean, I guess the people in Virginia knew who he was, but for the rest of the country, nobody seemed to know who he is. And so that said, did we get the right guy? I mean, why him and, you know, I don't know. Somebody posted something on Facebook that I found very interesting today about this guy. Now, whether or not y'all can tell me if this is true or not, I just found it very strange if this is the case. And it was talking about how his history is connected to Hillary and why it is that Hillary possibly made him her choice for VP. And if it is, it's very scary. And, again, it speaks to some of the politics that are going on at the DNC, or that went on at the DNC. I'm looking for that that post now, and I hope they didn't take it down. But it was very, very interesting, and I'm going to pray they did not take that down.
Well, he grew up in Missouri.
Yeah, he grew up in Missouri, but he had some – let me find that. This guy is someone who this person was alleging had a, I don't know how you want to put it. I'm still trying to find their comment. They were trying to say that Hillary owed him something. They had done something for Hillary. Hillary owed this person. So giving him this position was, it looks like they took it down. Giving him that position was something that was going to pay him back for something that he had done. And so,
well, that there is a blame argument there, saying that Hillary owed him something. What's she owe, a bottle of Coca-Cola or Pepsi? The man has a 0% record with the NRA. He's from Missouri. Missouri is typically a Republican state. And Virginia is a state that the Democrats, I don't believe, won in 2012. I know they won it in, I think they won it in 2008, one of the six states that blacks made a difference in 2008. So they're trying to play politics, trying to position themselves with this guy. I don't like him because of his, one of the reasons, because of his anti-gun stance.
Something about him doesn't sit right with me. The fact that, you know, I would have thought they would have come out with someone, at least that we knew something, you know, had some type of, you know, track record that most of the country knew. This guy just kind of seems to come out of nowhere, and I think it's more to him. I could be wrong, but I think it's more to him. Cisco,
is he Hispanic?
Huh?
Is he Hispanic, a Latino?
No, Tim, Kane, I think I think he's Caucasian. I think he's
okay.
Caucasian. Yeah, but he just comes out of nowhere. I mean, absolutely. But he had chaired the DNC, from 2009 to 2011. You know, he's been governor. He's been lieutenant governor. He's been mayor. You know, he's been busy, but nobody knew who he was, which I find very interesting. That you could do that many things, and then, you know, you still might be known to most of the world. But that is the case. But, you know, this is the thing. I think going into this election is going to be so many twists and turns. You know, a lot of people are still speculating that it won't be an election, that something's going to happen in this country that's going to cause a martial law, or we're going to go into a war, and we're not going to have an election. Do y'all believe that that's possible, or is that just,
you mean like when Bush was supposed to suspend the Constitution?
When was Bush supposed to suspend the Constitution? You mean after 9/11?
Just before 2008. In 2008, August, he was supposed to suspend the Constitution. It wasn't supposed to be an election.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think in 2008, the country was not in the state that it's in now. So I think really anything can happen. Anything at this particular point could happen. I don't know. I just think anything is possible. We got police officers, you know, allegedly dying every day, and we got, you know, people allegedly getting killed by police every day, whether real or, you know, false flags. But at the same time, they got real consequences, like I say it. So, you know, anything is possible. Is it just me that feels like something bad could happen between now and the election? I mean, that really could cause this country to come to a grinding halt. Am I just the only person that thinks that way? Are y'all serious? T. Smitty, Cisco, y'all don't think so? Am I dropping lines? Let me check.
I'm here. My line. I put my phone on mute while I'm just listening, y'all. I don't think anything is going to happen that way. I just think what's happening is I think it's going to be the status quo, like always. Like it's going to happen in November. It's going to be the status quo.
I don't think so. Let me ask you this. Since when has the country had this many murders? Since when has the country ever had this many murders with civilians and police officers? Never. Never. I mean,
I said the problem is that, see, you were saying about the murders. This country cares more about the cops than the civilians. Let's just call it what it is. The cops are a voluntary force. No one drafts you to become a cop. But yet they got provisions talking about, hey, you pretty much you resist arrest, you're going to die. Police protection bill. They got Blue Lives Matter Louisiana. They got these police protection bills out here. Who does a police benefit? White supremacy. Of course they could say, well, you don't do crime and all this stuff. But when you're black, is what white people say. Hey, he did it. And I just believe it's that we don't care about our citizens more than police. Because look at when citizens die, get killed by cops. What black citizens especially. What did you do? You did something. You did this. You stole a moon pie in the third grade. But when it's the cops... Oh, this guy had a family. The dead black people have families too. Oh, the stolen 15-year-old boy broke down.
I heard that the cops shot a man 107 years old. That really is stretching. From 12 years old with Tamir Rice to this man 107 years old, that's spanning the gamut. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what. The citizens have the power to curtail what we are looking at. Look what's going on, ridiculous among police. But they don't take and implement that power. If they didn't want the police doing the thing, police are nothing but employees. That's all they are. And if your citizenry, your government, your elected official, your police commission did not want them to be doing what they're doing, they have the power to stop it. I sat on a commission of police board, and I know that's what you can do.
Y'all, I found this comment. Now, y'all tell me if this is true. And I saw this first thing this morning. It says, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, which y'all know is that lady that was chairing the DNC that had to resign this week after the email scandal. Okay, so that's that person. So it says, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the co-chair of Hillary's 2008 presidential run, where she lost the nomination to Obama. So, in order to lock down the nomination in 2016, Hillary would have had to put Schultz in charge of the DNC and manipulate it from within. In order for his corruption scheme to work, the Clintons would have needed first to not only get the current DNC chair at the time to step down, but us also get them to recommend Schultz for the position, a big request. And the Clintons would have likely needed to promise a powerful favor to the DNC chair, something more prestigious than being head of the Democratic Party. So who was that person and what did they get in return? The previous chair of the DNC prior to Debbie Wasserman Schultz was Tim Kaine. I'll get all that.
Get this. I got something for you on this. Get this. Keep game on this now. Bernie Sanders is a Jewish man, correct? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Wasserman Schultz is a Jewish woman. She undermined another Jewish person. You noticed, you saw how quickly and swiftly those Jewish people in power dealt with her, right?
Wait a minute. Chelsea's husband is Jewish, too.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. But see, get this. They dealt with her, Wasserman Schultz. You see, she was out of there quick. There was no one saying, what about Jew on Jewish crime? What do you need to do better? What about the single parent home? No one was saying this stuff. They said, hey, you undermine our own here? You got to go. Black people, we don't do that. We don't punish people. We just make excuses, want to blame ourselves. And she had every right to be let go for that.
Well, Wasserman Schultz, not only did she resign, guess what? She was quickly picked up by Hillary, now to be her honorary chair of her campaign. Do y'all see how they moved around?
Hillary Clinton is very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Thank you.
And corrupted woman.
Yes, she is. Y'all better pay attention.
Her and two others.
So Waverman Schultz and Tim Kaine are connected. And Tim Kaine stepped down. They gave it to Waverman Schultz. And now all of a sudden, and this person who keeps calling with 111, I apologize, I'm not getting your call fast enough. Someone keeps calling in from a blocked number, and every time I get ready to go to them, they go off the board. But anyway, it's all connected, y'all. And so we're sitting back naively watching this convention on TV, those that did, and thinking, oh, okay, how nice this person is dressed in this, and they got up and they said this great speech. But, y'all, there is so much BS behind the scenes. There is so much BS behind the scenes.
You can very easily identify those type of corrupted connections with Hillary, but can you with Trump?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, you didn't. You said can I with Trump?
Yeah. I'm talking about with politicians. I ain't talking about with business. I'm talking about can you connect him with some of them insiders like that?
Yeah, the Clinton.
He's not a politician. But that doesn't make him any better. I mean, you cannot be a politician and still be dirty. So that and still have dirty hands. So that doesn't mean anything. That just because he doesn't have the same experience doing dirty stuff in politics that Hillary does doesn't mean that he doesn't have dirty hands in doing business deals. And so I wouldn't say that excludes him from anything. I don't.
Well, if he done something dirty business, which I'm talking about downtown. If he done something illegal, if he was accused of and charged and convicted of collusion or something like that, then he should be punished. But there's nothing came out like that. I mean, people use these old lame excuses talking about his company had filed bankruptcy. So I know a whole bunch of folks filed bankruptcy. I mean, the Constitution allow you to do that.
The race allegations that don't seem to go away.
Which allegation?
The rape allegations with a minor. Rape allegations?
I don't.
Rape allegations.
R-A-P-E?
R-A-P-E.
Can't hear you very well. Sounds like you're saying rape.
I did.
I ain't heard that. Like you said, it's allegation. Is it like that white woman who could lock her feet behind her head that brought those charges against Bill Cosby?
Let me see. Well, there is many women. There's many. Well, I'm not gonna go there tonight. Cisco, haven't you heard of those rape allegations against Bill? You almost made me say Bill Cosby against Donald Trump. Haven't you heard about those?
Yes, I have. I've heard them.
Okay. Well,
I've heard them. I didn't. Go ahead, Terry.
Wasn't she supposed to be underage?
Yeah, she was supposed to be underage, and I guess I heard that he paid her off, the family paid her off, or something like that. But yeah, she's supposed to be underage. He was in college, I think, wasn't he?
I know she was underage. I thought he threatened the family. I didn't hear about any money. I heard he threatened her.
Well, she's in college. How is she underage?
No, I said he was in college.
Oh.
No, he was. I think it was when he was in college.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, my goodness, man. We're going back. The man is about, what, 70 years old? You're going back a half a century.
Yeah, but if you're a rapist, you're a rapist.
Yeah,
It's been a century since Bill Cosby raped somebody, but they still after.
Well, how long has it been since Mike Tyson raped somebody that he didn't?
Right.
Well, he served his time if he did it or didn't he? I'm just saying, hold everybody to the same standards now, Pianki. You know, the thing is, we're talking about electing somebody to the highest office in the land. So when you are willing to put yourself out there to run for an office like that, your reputation should be that of a preacher, a bishop, or something. It should be pretty clean because, you know, people
are
looking at you.
How about your reputation being like a John F. Kennedy? Blacks loved Denzel Kennedy.
You know what, though? Speaking of y'all saying blacks and Democrats, loving Democrats, one, I always tell people, go on Netflix and type in the 60s. JFK used Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. When he got elected, he didn't say a word about black folks, helping black folks. And
you're right.
He negotiated a deal with those cops in Mississippi to lock the black folks up until they got off the bus so there won't be no bloodshed because he didn't want to deal with it. That's for those black folks that think the North wanted to free slave. They're all apathetic towards it. But here's the thing. We talk about blacks at the Democratic Convention like Kerry talked about earlier. I'm going to bring up one guy's name. Roland Martin. I follow a lot of people, Republican, Democrat, Shields. I follow a lot of people. I love hearing a lot of people's side. All I hear on his show is how he goes in on Trump, saying what Trump going to do about for black folks. He ain't got no plan. And my thing is, one, why the hell you ain't been on Hillary about this? Two, why the hell you ain't been on a sitting black president for the past 7 years about this? But you and this is the stuff that gets black people into trouble, is that we let these people who are nothing more than shills for these, shilling for these people up here speaking for us, and it don't make no sense at all, ain't helping us at all. He want to sit here, I'm like, dude, all right, we know what Trump is. But how about we want to see what either one of these people would do for us? Because why the hell, you know, we don't do that. We just want to say, well, he said this. He's a fool. That man's not a fool. That man is not a fool. That man is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. But yet, we got so many people here who are just so much of a shield for the Democratic Party. Where they will just let them slide with everything. But want to ask
you know
Trump,
what else?
Who's supposedly a racist, to want to do with black folks.
You know what else, sir?
Yeah.
There never would have been a 1964 Civil Rights Act nor a 1965 Voting Rights Act if Kennedy had lived.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have been one. Kennedy was against the 1957 Civil Rights Act. He was against it. He was not for that type of program. Johnson was the one that pushed that through. Johnson used to beat up folks. And wait a minute, that's another thing. You looking at the way Trump act, we can go back in history and see some presidents that really acted crazy. And also Ted Kennedy. How many women came up killed when they went for a ride with him?
Well, we don't want crazy. I mean, but why would we want crazy, though?
It's not necessarily crazy. I mean, that's what you get in the package.
Oh, Lord. Yankee, this is not the time to put a loose cannon out in front of the world and say he's going to be our commander in chief. I mean, he may just, you know what, he just may hit the button
what?
For no reason or
Kerry.
No reason or stupid
Kerry.
Reasons. I'm just saying.
We always talk about how Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was supposedly say that he wanted to wipe Israel off the map. He didn't say that. People don't even know what the hell the man was speaking because they don't speak Persian. But look at what those other Republicans said about Putin and also the leader of North Korea, calling Putin a thug, and I forget what they called Kim. So those are insults. I mean, it's on now. So nobody was saying anything about electing them. We're always jumping on Trump. Trump is not a politician. You would expect someone like him to say the things the way he do. But guess what? People understand what he's saying.
I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to move on with that. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. PNG, this is the thing. You are a black person, and you know what black people have been going through. Trump has stirred up some of the most hatred races in this country, and they have come out of the woodwork and into the streets, flooding the streets with all type of racial rhetoric. And the problem with that is this: we can pretend that this is not going to be problematic, but we're fooling ourselves. It's too hot, and it's, people are too frustrated and too broke and too many, a whole bunch of other things, to continue to see what's going on in this country and that type of rhetoric not have a snowball effect. And so I think the fact that Trump is has the ability to rev it up and has done so is very dangerous. And I think for us as black people to not say that that is an issue is we're crazy. And anybody who goes to the poll and pretends that his job promises, his promises for jobs are more important than this racial rhetoric that he's saying that's causing all type of racism to come out of the woodworks. I think we're crazy. What?
Where have any of these people violated someone's civil rights? Come on. It's not against the law to be a racist. Hell, I'm a racist.
Oh, Lord. I'm not a racist. Let me be clear. I'm not a racist.
Well, I am. I'm a bigot. I'm prejudiced. I discriminate. I like black women. I don't want no damn white woman. I'm a racist, and I discriminate, too.
Okay, let's say this. Let's be clear. It's a difference between being a racist and having a bias. There's a difference. And so racist means I hate you. Bias means I like this better than the other. You see?
Well, I'll let the other brother talk, address that for you, because I ain't never seen somebody say that. I know if a person don't want to be around you, what are you going to try to do? Make them like you?
Listen.
There's nothing wrong with a person saying they hate you. They don't want to be around you.
You are preaching to the choir. I don't want to live around anybody. I don't want to work around anybody. I don't want to do anything if someone does not want my presence. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who can say goodbye to me, I say, listen, good riddance. So that's okay. So you're misunderstanding me. I feel like the Klan have every right to have racist beliefs.
They got a right to burn their crosses and dress up and look nice and put Old Spice on and everything. But you know, you can't complain about whites being racist and at the same time you complain about black men marrying and dating these white women.
No, let me say this though. This is what I'm saying. I have a problem when you're a racist and you hide your head, you cover your head. I think I have a problem with that. That's where I have a problem with the Klan at, because they can cover their head and go to their meetings in the woods somewhere, but then they can come and sit on the bench or carry a gun and a badge and shoot me. So I do have a problem with that. And the fact that Trump...
Now, I agree with you on that.
Okay?
I agree with you there. You should get rid of them.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. You should work to get their asses out of there.
That's what I'm saying. And so Trump stirs up these kind of people, and I think this is the problem I have with Trump. I think Trump gives these people a comfort zone that they've come in, that they can come out of the woodwork and say whatever is on their mind. We know that as mature people, we cannot say whatever we think. But something about Trump has allowed people who have been silent for I don't know how long to all of a sudden feel like it's okay to use the N-word, it's okay to, you know, threaten people with violence, it's okay to be violent. I think all of that Trump is stirred up. But I'm going back to the phone lines. I'm going to get off my rant. 860-212, good evening, you're on Center Shade. 860-212. Last call. 860-212.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, is it open mic or, you know, what's going on? Carrie Hines.
I'm sorry, say what?
I said, is it open mic tonight, man? What's the topic? What's going on, man? I just called in, man. It's been a long time since I called in to set the stage.
I know.
Yeah, man. So
chaos. On your mind tonight.
Yeah, so part as usual, Carrie.
Well,
since you like to deal with conspiracy theorists or wherever you want to call it tonight, wherever, every night, do you know this has already been picked already that she's already going to be president? Did you know this already?
I'm sorry, did I know what?
I hope you're aware that they already picked who's going to be president now of this presidency. You know who they're picking, right? You know, it's already been sealed and done with. If you go to the polls, You know who it is. It's a woman. It's a woman that's going to put in office.
The opposite of what T. Smitty said. He said it's Trump. So, you know.
I mean,
obviously,
it's like this, Carrie. At much times, a lot of people want it or hate Trump or want Trump. Obviously, this is not how this thing is structured. If you look at Trump and the position for Hillary to be in office, because really, truly, the shit that Hillary is already put under, what she put herself because of the FBI thing, all this happening, all this nonsense, really, she should not be in prison. She should be in prison. But because of her political ties, that's not happening. So really, truly, we're going to have a Clinton in office for another 8 years. That makes it 16 years. And we all know what the first Clinton did in office. So imagine if a woman's in office as Clinton. Woo. It's going to be a cold day in
hell. See, I disagree with you. I heard that initially that Trump was really just someone who was fronting to mess up the Republican vote, and eventually, he was just clearing the way for Hillary to win. But I think, in my opinion, there's no way like a man like Trump is going to move aside. They'd have to kill him at this point because his ego is just not going to let him not sit in the Oval Office. So I disagree with you. I think
it's not really about ego. It's all about politics and money, Kerry Hines. You know what I'm saying? He put himself in position. But remember, every woman is business at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? If you look back then, 30 years ago when he said he would never run for president, and now he's running now, we always got to sort of the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? Because he could do this decades ago. Why all of a sudden now at a time point where, you know, Hillary stopped at one point, dropped out, and I think was it 2012 or some year, and now she's running again. And right now, is how much is that? It's down to two or three people, right, for the presidency, right? Trump and Hillary, right?
No, it's two.
Why don't they What happened to Bernie?
Well,
right?
No, Bernie conceded. He conceded this week and said, you know, okay, I can give it to Hillary.
Okay, so right there, look at this. See, it's perfect. That's where you have to think now deep. See, they made the gateway now to let us know, obvious, where this is going. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people think it's going to go the other way around. No, it's not. And, you know, it's going to prove me wrong once the so-called November pass and then I told you so. Speech, you know what I'm saying? Because really, look at this. They have a black man, or a so-called black man, office for 8 years. Next stage is now put a woman in office because this country doesn't have no woman in office. Remember, America has to keep the illusion of inclusion that it is a country that is somewhat a changed direction with all this shit going around in this country. They got to keep the illusion to the other worlds to notice that this country is making some difference and is changing its perspective. But the whole world knows it's a lot of bullshit.
You call me a conspiracy theorist. There's many people that say this is going to be the last president. That, you know, just like Rome, when it fell, it had a black man at the head. They're saying
I don't know about that because really, truly, with anything that falls, there's always a rebirth. You know what I'm saying? This right, what we live in right now, these are stages of the same Greco-Roman times: sodomy, fuckery, killing. We can name it, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, anything that's fallen, there's always a sense of rebirth. You should know that better than anything, especially if you're a Christian. You should know this better.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say that there's always going to be an end time, if there's something that's going to end, there's always going to be a beginning. And it always goes in a constant cycle. And if you don't really understand it, then you lost from the start. But only time will tell. You'll still see what I say. It'll come to pass. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, the Yankee wasn't a Jew and T. Smitty both that said Trump's going to win, so he's saying that Hillary's going to win. So, you know, that tells me nobody
would have said that. One more thing, before anybody say, and this is the last time I'm going to speak on this, because people are going to waste a lot of time for the next couple months on this. You know what I'm saying? And it's all right, full and sealed. The only thing people got to understand is how they're going to get their shit together besides what's going outside this country. I mean, right now I hear a rumor about Chinese by playing some fucking nuke and all that. But I'm going to sit back and see what's going on with that. I'm saying I'm not going to sit and draw no conclusions. So,
well, see, here it is. If Hillary wins, then that group that's always saying, well, the president is selected, not elected, then they will continue to carry on that rhetoric. But if Trump wins, They don't have no claims to the game.
Wait, hey, listen. It's like this, Yankee. It's like pick your poison. Either you pick Hillary or Trump. There's no between, because at the end of the day, our people are not into these politics things. We're not even in control of our own reality much as anything that's going on in politics. You know what I'm saying? So any little power we do have is non-existent, because you got to be organized as a people. Our people are still doing these childish games, because politics is the most important thing out of anything, that our people should get our shit straight before we step into the political arena. Because we don't do that, is that they can put anything in front of us, go sit there, accept it. Without looking at the bigger picture and how we could benefit. And you know this, Pianki.
Well, let me add this to the equation. Every time we change presidents, whether that be 4 years or 8 years, they always give us something different. So they're really starting the game this time, because Trump would be a total, you know, different package from Barack Obama. And Hillary being a woman would be a totally different package from a Barack Obama. So it's any man's game on this one. And y'all got to pay attention. They really don't care who they put in. They just want to know who's going to obey them. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the person who's in the office is really just an empty suit, because they're puppets for whoever's behind the scenes. So we all know that. So at this particular point, I think it may not even be determined yet. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think either way, we're getting something totally different, which is exactly what the game that they've been playing with us from the beginning of time. When they know we're good and tired of one thing, they give us something different. So this particular time, they've given us two options that are totally different. And so the question is, you know, where are they trying to head this country? And that will determine, or help us determine, who they're going to give it to, you know, because if they're trying to implement martial law and let the police be really hard on people, then it's probably going to be Donald Trump. Hello. If it's, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know we can get some really dirty politics coming our way. So, you know, it's
but
she's going to tell
you get the you can get the martial law from her. Say you can get it from her the same way, too. You get the martial law from her, too. It doesn't matter. At this point is when they pick a time when they want to, and really it's already here already. It's just when the point when they want to let full blown, that's when it's only be known to the normal eye. But really it's already here already. Saying it doesn't have to be Donald Trump to really pull that. It could be under a woman, right? Because remember, you say you still carry. They put these people in position in place, because the real people that really pull the strings and want to decide that, not them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if they implement martial law, you're going to continue to pay the police department who's employees of your city?
Mm-hmm.
But see, they're getting,
well, then you need to
ready
be under martial law.
No, but remember, they're getting ready to go to a global police. That has already been put out there. They've already started talking about that and implementing some things. So we're going to have a global police, which falls under the One World Order. So when you think about the One World Order and one policing, then you know that talks about no walls and all of that. So again, that makes me question if Donald Trump is going to be it, because the One World Order speaks of no borders. Donald Trump's talking about building a wall. So we know either he's not keeping up with where they're going with this, or he may not be the man. Let's think about it, though. Let's think about it.
That's not really to think about, because you know, somebody was saying something.
No, I was saying the One World Order is one religion, no borders, global police. All of that falls under the New World Order. Depopulation. So you got to think whoever they're putting at the helm this time has got to be down for all of that. And so you got to think, is Hillary more the type of person that will be compliant, or is Trump more of the type of person that will be compliant? Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's really either man or woman at this particular point. But I think the only thing that would happen if Trump was at the helm, Trump is more readable than Hillary. So Trump is not a career politician, so he wouldn't be able to get up there and fake us out like probably Hillary would be able to, because he's just not polished like that. And I think that would be the only difference in the two of them. But I think Trump would be compliant. I really do. He just may not be able to do the speeches and the whole nine yards to fool the folks. But it's common. Y'all, we got to get ready to get out of here. But I apologize. This week I just didn't have what it took the last couple of weeks to watch the RNC, I didn't watch 1 minute of it, and I didn't watch it, any of the DNC, because I just couldn't take people lying to me to my face. I just couldn't take any promises that I knew, any more promises that I knew people were not going to follow through on, people who don't care about, you know, us as the American people, for what they care about is being able to get into office. And so saying anything and doing anything to get that position is what was on some people's minds. And I just did not want to see that the last 2 weeks. Now, let's say it. Y'all, we got to decide very, very quickly how we're going to be winners in this because we have, like, a little over three months, four tops before we go to the polls and decide who the next president of the United States will be. Unless God intervenes in some kind of way, there's a divine intervention, and then we're not going to have an election, then that's going to open up another can of worms. A lot of people will be dissatisfied with Barack Obama continuing to stay in office. So we got a lot on the table. You know, I say everything to God in prayer. I mean, because, you know, only he can get us out of this. So at the end of the day, I'm undecided as to how I'm going to go to the polls or if I'm going to go to the polls because, you know, I'm starting to wonder if my vote even counts because, you know, if it says people say presidents are selected and not elected, then it's all a show. So it is what it is. Listen, y'all, we got to get out of here, but we do this each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. If you have an idea for a show, drop us a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. That's centerstageradio@yahoo.com. And if it's something in line with what we do here at Center Stage, we will definitely consider doing it. Also, well, you know, we'd like to hear from you all. What do you all think of the show? What would you like to see us do differently here? Should we have more panel discussions? Should we have more guests? If you, you know, have a comment or a complaint about the show, drop me a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. If y'all think I talk too much, which I probably do, that's why I love panel discussions, y'all, because I love to have other people talking, and I can just sit back and just soak up all the knowledge coming from other people. So that's why you always see me trying to have a panel discussion, because I really like standing back and listening to other people talk. So, again, we do this each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central. Join us next week. We're going to talk about some of the things that's going on in this country. We're going to talk about, unless something changes really drastically, we're going to talk about what does it mean or where is it all headed when we keep seeing every other day or every other week we're seeing a police officer killed and then we're seeing a civilian killed by police. Where And, you know, what we all know is we don't want a war between police and civilians because we're not going to win that way. And I'm a person, again, that's been harassed by police for the last 5 years for doing what I do right here on Center Stage. But at the same time, I'm not someone who thinks it's wise for civilians to take on the police at any time. And so that said, let's talk about that next week, y'all. What can we do to change this? What kind of demands can we make on this country to force some type of change within the policing system that allows either community policing or allows us to be able to go to the table with police and have some dialogue about what's going on in the streets and how we can change it, because we all know something's got to change, y'all. Okay, got to get out of here. Love you guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.